It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. Happy New Year. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hope you had a festive and safe holiday, and now we're kicking off something new in 2022. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, brother?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and thanks, Conrad, for showing up in this blizzard, the pandemic snow-rama.
Right, yeah. Yep, not too bad today, but a couple days earlier this week, man, she was a mess.
One day I plowed my driveway twice.
Yeah, well, I got an opposite story of that, is I hired a new plow guy, and he said he'd be there before 7 a.m., which I thought, oh, okay, I can live with that. And I didn't really realize it was the next day after it snowed before 7 a.m., which gives him 24 hours to figure out when he wants to show up at 9:30 at night. And so I had snowblowed the driveway already by the time he got there. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And I'm like, you said you'd be here by 7 a.m. Yeah, yeah, well, I'm like, you got my phone number and I got yours, but wait, you got my money, right?
And you already got his money. He already got your money.
Oh yeah, I had to pay him up front.
Oh, that was
for the whole season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you'll be the last on the list.
Well, no, he does two of my neighbors, which is why I hired the guy, because he was doing my neighbor's driveway, and I said, well, I need somebody. My guy flaked out, and so I went over there. He was staking it out, right, like 2 weeks ago, and I walked across cul-de-sac and said, hey, would you do mine too? Yep, $280. I'm like, okay. Whatever.
That's half a snowblower.
Right, yeah. Well, no, no, no. That's in addition to the snowblower I bought, because he weren't showing up. And we got 8 inches of snow, so you know what is what it is. But he's not on my high list right now, I guarantee it.
Your old snowblower's being put to use. My son-in-law, Christian, sent me a text the other day, and he said, thanks again for this snowblower. It's been a real treat.
Well, good. Somebody's getting it. Yeah. When I moved, I didn't need one for a while, so Barbecue Bob and I have a way of trading things back and forth.
We are horse traders.
Right.
I didn't get that horse either, by
the
way.
No, that's okay. You got the end that mattered. That was all that mattered.
I wouldn't call you that. Hey, been watching a lot of Jackknives, too, so it's time to remember you live in Michigan. If you're in Michigan right now.
Yeah, I heard on another radio station this morning that two state trooper cars got hit yesterday from one of the precincts somewhere around West Michigan. But the story was is the sergeant had been there for 28 years and had never had two cars hit in one day before. And so just be careful when you're out there. You know, stopping distances are a lot longer when the roads are crappy like this. So, and so are your cook times. You know, that's my my tip for the day is when we are in this smoking in the snow room, you need two things. You need patience and you need a thermometer.
That was a little play off of Thin Lizzy.
I understand. I understand. But generally what happens is, and this happened to me, but I was prepared, is that I wanted to make a spatchcock chicken in a iron skillet. Okay, and I wanted to do it on the grill. And the reason that I wanted an iron skillet is that I wanted it to brown a little bit on the bottom without burning. So I put the skillet between it, right?
Put a little bacon under it?
A little bacon grease, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, but I do that thing out on my grill, and I've got the tech, and it's an infrared grill, and that sucker gets hot. But I'm telling you, it was 12 degrees out when I did it, and I figured I'd have that thing done in a half hour to 45 minutes. I get out there at my half hour, it's 112 degrees in the deepest part of the thigh, and I got to get to 165. So I'm like, well, crap, this is going to take a while. It took me an extra 35 minutes.
So you had to shut the lid.
Right. Well, no, the lid was shut, but I'm just saying that it was still...
You must have had it on low then.
Yeah, I didn't want to burn it, right? But
totally screwed up your time, is
right,
what you're saying.
It did. And had I not had a thermometer, Mama would have been eating a bloody chicken thigh. So my point is that... It's going to take more time, number one. Number two is get your digital thermometer out there. Go to the deepest part of whatever you're cooking, and this one was in the joint of the thigh or deep into the breast meat. And guess what? It wasn't done, but I knew when it was because I just checked it a couple more times, and bingo, turned out great.
Well, if we need to figure it out, it just so happens we've got a chemical engineer in the studio right now, so we might have to let Alex put his big calculator on and figure it out.
Or you can just do it dumb by my style. It's like, that don't look done yet. So put the thermometer in it.
So the show is smoking in the snow room, so we're going to be basically talking about smoking. And even if you have just a gas grill, there's ways to smoke with it. But most of you have at least a charcoal Weber kettle or something.
Right.
Great smoker. Or some of you even have got a real smoker or a pellet grill.
Right.
So there's lots of ways to skin that cat. And it's cold weather, so we're going to pick categories that need a cool smoke.
Right.
And that would be bacon.
Okay.
Cheese.
Yep.
And fish.
All of those.
Those all like cold smoke.
Right.
The danger is, if you're going to do that, make sure you're not streaming it live. Because it
just takes too long.
First time is going to be a treat. Well, plus, you can pile a lot of smoke onto something.
Right.
And I'm not like a smoked cheese fan anyway. I know you are, but I'm not. But this week, I did smoke a little bit, but more than anything, it was so cold and snowy. I used my hot tub, which was really nice. Okay. Had to shovel that baby out.
Right.
But I went Asian one day, and I made some egg rolls. And that was a learning curve, and I've been studying it for a long time. I've been eating them for 40 years, right? But making them and having them turn out look like in a nice Chinese or Japanese restaurant, two different things.
Okay.
It's a bit of a trick.
So I've eaten a variety of stuffings in egg rolls. I mean, most of them are cabbage-based with some other stuff.
Right.
But the wrapper is the part that I think would be probably the tough part for me.
Right.
What'd you run into?
Well, I couldn't find any in the supermarkets because so many things are just not in stock right now. And
did you try an American or an Asian market?
I'll just make it a supermarket.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in the dead of the big storm we had this week, and I didn't feel like driving into Grand Rapids and trying to find it.
You just had to get your egg roll on, so you went to the local store.
Well, I thought, shoot, how hard can it be? And I looked up a bunch of recipes, and it's like, it looks fairly simple. But, you know.
So you made the wrapper, too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's basically, I'd call it kind of a pancake, a really thin pancake. And the key is getting it to the right doneness. So the recipe I used, I think, was worded poorly, and I took their word for it on everything, and I would not do it that way next time. Basically, you're not supposed to have to flip it, and the bottom's supposed to get a little crispy. Well, in a wok, that can be tricky. It can be real tricky because—
Isn't the wrapper kind of flat, or do you want it curled up?
It is, but when you make it, you take your quarter cup measuring cup or whatever you're dipping into your batter— and you pour an 8-inch circle around it and then try and fill it in. And it's a trick.
Wow.
It's a trick. So a couple of them turned out real nice, but quite a few of them were kind of ugly. But the stuffing turned out great. I used some boneless chicken thighs that I got at Sobeys.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in my grinder, and I shredded some lettuce. I don't know. Did you get me those attachments for Maureen's
a few years ago, yeah,
they work great.
For the KitchenAid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so the shredder worked great for the cabbage and carrots. And here was the cool thing. After I browned the chicken, you throw that shredded lettuce right on top of it and stir it around for a minute, put the lid on it.
Let it wilt a little
bit.
And
it just wilts it perfectly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was better than steeping it in water like the one guy said.
Yeah, no.
Oh, the stuffing was great.
Yeah, so you ended up the ones that didn't. Now, do you deep fry them once you get them made?
Yep.
Okay.
In the wok.
Okay.
I used the wok again. Just poured more oil in there. I mean, I had one pan dirty.
Was it? Was the oil hot enough? What didn't work? Just the wrapper?
The wrapper was a mess. Now, I also bought a pack of spring rolls because they did have those.
Okay.
And those are like rice paper.
Right.
You got to get them wet and. For just the right amount of time, roll them up real quick before they're breaking. And, you know, it's like I said, it's all practice. But
Can't you call somebody and get an egg roll for about $1.39?
You know, you can do that with brisket, too. But do I do it?
Well, not $1.39, but yeah, okay, whatever. Well, hey, man, at least you tried something new, right, in 2022.
Might be the last time.
That's what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Might be the last time. That's okay. You gave it a run. Ain't no big deal. So, but anyway, coming up next, thinking of something else that might be new. If you've never made bacon at home, I mean, I go to Sobeys and buy it all the time. But, you know, it's a project. So we'll be making bacon. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Happy New Year to you. And, you know, we're doing some little smoking in the snow room. You know what? It's kind of cold. Don't ever put your grill away or we'll clip your man card, but it's kind of cold. And smoking allows you to put some stuff on your cooker and then maybe go back inside and watch some of the game while it cooks. So we're going to go down that road today. Barbecue Bob, what are we cooking, baby?
Before we do that, I would just like to remind everybody to hit our website, thegrillingguys.com. Over on the right, you'll see all kinds of sponsors like Old World, Garrett's. We're just down the street from Garrett's in our new studio here at Jethro FM. And Schmoes and all kinds of people, Fen Valley. But also check out the big banner that says My Pilla.
Yep.
And if you don't have a MyPillow, by all means, get a couple right now because it'll change the way you sleep. And they've got a million other things. And I'm making next year's Christmas list already, Jop. I want those slippers.
Yep. And if you go to MyPillow and when you get to the checkout, put in BBQ.
Yeah.
And you'll get a special price from the Grilling Guys. And so that's our gift to you. In 2022. I'll stop with those rhymes here maybe in about another 11 months.
I think you should come up with a rap.
Right, yeah. Ours is getting old. Maybe there's a new one of those in 2022.
Yeah.
Who knows? But anyways.
Mike Lindell to do it.
Something new. Let's make some bacon. Not a lot of people do this, I bet. So
I bet.
Let's walk them through slow but sure. And there's some steps that I think we should follow.
Yeah, and as a college kid, when I was 18, 19, moved to Grand Rapids for my first run at school, I worked the night shift at Van and Brink Meats. It was up on Richmond, very close to Pitch Wrecking. And they were famous for making all the hams that Spartan used.
Okay.
And our hams were, like, world class. They were really good. We had guys that would work on this big table, and they did nothing but bone them. And we called those guys boners.
I'm sure you did.
And then we had guys that brined.
Was that a promotion for you, boner?
I never made it that far.
Surprise!
Yeah, those were like career guys. They were experienced with. They wore these metal mesh gloves. And
yeah, I was going to say they gave them the sharp knives.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, I had a butter knife. No, I didn't cut any meat. I did college labor.
Yeah, I heard
pushed around carts.
The story goes, if I remember it correctly, is every once in a while they were slippery.
They were.
And one would hit the floor.
Accidentally, we would drop one.
Right, yeah.
And the evidence was gone within 40 seconds.
Right.
Because it was a bunch of college kids, and we were all starving.
Right.
But the one thing we did is we had tons and tons and tons of bacon, and we had these great big racks. We would brine them, and we had this machine that would punch the brine into them, mm-hmm. and then we'd throw them in a brine tank. And I don't know how long we brined them for, a couple of days probably, because we injected them so it was faster. You normally want to brine a pork belly for about 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, I've got a recipe here from there's a guy named Stephen Reichlin, and Stephen is a barbecue master. We both got some of his books. And he's good. And
he's been on the show, actually.
Right, he has. And so where I was going is he's got some tips here, and I'll interject those as we go through.
Okay.
And this first one was choosing the right pork belly. And his suggestion is one of the heritage breeds, like a Berkshire, a Duroc, or a Kuribata.
Okay, time out.
What?
Time out. Here's we can't afford that stuff.
Oh, sure
he
we can.
He's down in Scottsdale right now.
Right.
In his palatial estate. And sure. He can buy all those heritage breeds.
Well, I think Sobey carries them, too. I mean,
you think so?
I know he does.
Really?
As a matter of fact.
Berkshire.
Absolutely. Oh. Well, he carries heritage hogs. I know that because he sold me ribs from those hogs before.
Can you smoke them in Heritage Hills?
What? You can smoke it anywhere. You got a smoker, right? But anyway, get a good pork belly is the name.
Yeah, okay? Steven's got a ton of money. He's very good. He's, in my opinion, the best in the business. And I met him at HPBA shows years ago, and that's why we ended up having him on the show is because he's just that kind of guy. He does the barbecue he does all kinds of stuff, but he also has, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 Kalamazoo grills on his patio in Arizona.
It's all heat. It's all heat and grapes.
So
you get a pork belly, whatever you get. Do you buy a whole one? They're like 10 to 12 pounds, right?
I would.
Right. I mean,
but you don't have to.
Right. You can get a smaller piece if you want to.
Because what are you gonna brine it in?
Right. Well, a big old bucket.
You gotta have something big enough for it.
Right.
I picked one up from Sobey here you bought me that brining kit.
Right.
And I got a great big one from Timmy, and I had to cut it in half. It was just too much to handle.
Right.
I couldn't even fit it on my grill. Must have been from like a Porcosaurus Rex or something.
Sure. Sure. Did it come with a skin on it?
Yes.
And you have to take the skin off before you brine it, right?
I did, and I tried making pork rinds.
Cracklings?
That didn't work.
Oh. Fire wasn't hot enough.
There's a trick to that, too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there is on everything. Yeah.
Well, I guess you have to like skin it right down, and I don't know. I just, you know, I was drinking beer, I think.
Right. Well, you're making bacon is what you were doing. All right. So we got the skin off the pork belly.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well,
got to cure it, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to say you're going to go 7 days in your brine.
Mm-hmm.
What's Stevie say?
He says 5 to 7.
Yep, okay.
Yep, yep, that's exactly what he says.
All right.
But he said you should turn it.
Every 12 hours.
Right, yep.
You got to keep flipping it.
Flipping it
so
over.
So what's he say about, what does he recommend for a brine? I want to hear.
Because
I would take his advice on that any day.
But he's got salt, sugar, and optional curing salt, which is sodium nitrite, and pepper. That's it.
Oh, that's no genius.
No, but
Tim Sobey can do better than that.
Right, and I think that you've got to make sure you got the right combination of those, though. So look up a recipe, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all I would add to it is bay leaf, brown sugar instead of white. So go half.
I thought you said Bailey's. So you'd make this in the morning in your coffee. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And did he say to put Prague? Prague powder in it?
No. He said that just a nitrite if you want it.
Yeah. That's Prague powder.
Right. Yep.
Otherwise known as Instacure.
Right. Right. So you brine it for 5 to 7 days. Then you're going to take it out. You're going to rinse it off.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's salty.
Yep.
And then what he recommends is let it dry for at least 4 hours.
Yep.
Or as long as overnight, turning it once or twice to form a pellicle. Tell him what that is.
Yeah. Right. It's just like you do with your fish.
Right.
I did not do that. I just made some bacon this week. I did not do that, and I don't know that I missed anything. What I actually did was I put more salt on it and pepper, big, thick black peppercorns when I smoked it. And goodness sakes, it took me hours. It was so cold. It took me 7 or 8 hours to smoke that little bit of bacon.
And he's recommending like at 175, 180
degrees.
That's
where I was trying to keep it.
But, right.
You know, I was just using my Cajun.
Yeah.
And if I had more of an airtight smoker, I could have controlled the temp a little better. Yep. But I kept putting just small amounts of that large charcoal on there.
Yep. And you get it to about 150 degrees internal temperature, the bacon itself.
Yep.
And then it's done. And you're going to pull that stuff off. And his recommendation is to tightly wrap it in plastic wrap and refrigerate it for 4 hours to overnight before you try to cut it. Because that'll let it firm up a little bit.
Tightens up, yeah.
Yep, it'll tighten up.
Yeah, I made that mistake the first time, too.
Right.
Pulled it off the smoker. And then I wanted to eat some.
And why would anybody do this? Because you can cut a chunk as big as you want. That's why. this is your kind of bacon eating, man.
Making a BLT.
Yeah. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to get to the salmon Maybe we could do a little better job than that with this with the bacon. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim since '59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsmen.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year. We're smoking in the snow room today, if you're just tuning in. And we're going to try something new in 2022, and this is it right here now. So, Barbecue Bob, what's shaking?
Well, I just enjoyed that chat about bacon we were doing, and I don't know that we covered it all quite enough.
Okay.
So before we get into the salmon, I thought maybe we could just cover a couple of little extra things on there. You know, your temperature in your firebox can be as low as 95 degrees when you're smoking bacon.
Hard to keep it that low, though.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
Not in this weather.
Right.
I did my little trick that I was telling you about the week before. I told you I wanted to make some charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I let my Cajun make the charcoal. I just kept putting little chunks of hardwood on it, and it was beautiful. It was just like, I'm just using scraps of... You know, I burn a lot of hardwood in my house. I have an efficient fireplace, and I always end up with stupid little chunks, and I throw them on there, and goodness sakes, it kept that temperature just perfect, about 130 with lots of smoke. You should have seen how beautiful this bacon turned out. So you don't have to have, like, a sophisticated device. This is just a charcoal grill. Now, it happens to be, in my opinion, one of the greatest ever made, but... by a T-Gid, our boy T-Gid and his brother Greg down right in Louisiana make those at Percy Guidry. And they're hard to find up here. You have to buy them online. But it's if you want a cool charcoal grill that also smokes, but you're going to spend a couple grand for it.
Right. So did you smoke that bacon directly over the heat, or
no,
is it offset?
No,
right.
Of course, indirect.
Right.
So which is cool with the Cajun because it's got that elevated coal bed. So I just lifted the bed up to about where I thought it needed to be, and it got not quite level with the bacon, but up closer to it, and then the smoke went up to the top of the thing and kind of foiled around it, and it made this beautiful. It was beautiful. I just kept filming it and
right
looking at it, and
right
and opening another beer.
Yeah, generally when you're smoking in the colder weather, you don't want to open the lid too many times. Bob was making Facebook videos for the Grilling Guys, so he does. But my recommendation would be to put a remote thermometer in it and leave the lid closed, because especially in the cold weather,
yeah,
when you open that lid, you're pretty much starting over.
That's a valid observation, Randy, as usual. Here's the thing. Do you remember when you had your big green egg out at the lake when
you lived
at the lake
and
you had that large amount of charcoal in there.
Right. Yeah.
You opened it up. What did it do?
It took a gulp of air and it just exploded hot. Right.
Yeah. I'll never forget the look on your face when you described that.
Yeah.
Well, the Cajun did something like that to me too.
Oh.
I had all this wood that was smoldering along nicely because I was starving it.
Right. Of air. Starving it of air.
But
yeah.
Then I opened the lid to film it.
Right.
And, I went back out there a couple minutes later. It's at 480 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Bright red
I'm
coals.
Frying bacon.
Right.
So I choked her right down, and I actually put snow on top of the box to try and cool it off. And it did settle back down. But that is just a very valid point you made. And the oxygen, when you open it, is a big deal.
Right.
You can choke it off all you want, but if you open up your box, you're in trouble.
Right, yeah, because it's going to gobble up all the air it can take, and you're going to get an instant heat.
Just a little box of
Right, but you lose all – it's interesting because it's a double whammy. As soon as you open it up, you lose all the heat you had. But if you leave it open for another couple minutes, now you get way more than you want.
Whammy!
Yeah, so it's kind of a crazy relationship there. But
yeah, so I don't want to overburden the smoke conversation, but it's kind of what we really want to accomplish is to make sure that our usage of terms and how we're trying to depict these things is conveying and relating to you, because you're just going to practice anyway if you've never done it, and maybe you've done it a million times and you don't like how we're describing it. There, you know, this is just a hobby, right? It's just a sport. It's a professional sport.
Right.
And you're supposed to practice.
Yeah.
So go down to Sobey Meats, get a half a pork belly.
Right.
Or if you're a man, get a whole pork belly.
Right. Cut it in half and do it better the second time. I mean, there's an option right there, is put half of it on, perfect your craft, and if you don't like something, try it different the next
time.
Well,
we're going to post this brining recipe. If you just smoke that pork belly at $1.25 for 6 to 10 hours till you bring it up to 165. What'd Reichland say?
150.
Yeah.
Internal temperature. Now you got to have a fire hotter than 150 to get the bacon to 150.
Do you?
Eventually. Eventually. That's when you open the lid. That's what helps.
Yeah. But, so I say, giddy up, go buy a pork belly. I think they're only going to be $30 or $40. You're going to have a great big slab of meat.
Right.
And when you get done smoking it, guess what? All the bacon you want.
Right.
Baby. But here's the
it
little
It does
work.
Shrink while you're smoking it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Here's
back to Vandenbrink's, huh?
Yes. Yeah. If you have a meat slicer, you'll be way better off.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm cutting mine by hand, and let me tell you, look at my fingers.
Right. What fingers?
It's tricky.
Yeah.
And plus, as you're cutting it, it starts to warm a little bit and it gets soft. A meat slicer, that's definitely on my wish list.
Right. And I've had them for bacon and maybe a ham or some, if you buy a whole chunk of lunch meat.
Yep.
But most of the time, a good sharp knife will work. And I agree with you, when it warms up, it starts to wobble and it's hard to get it. But that's why you put it in the fridge. And you get it down to the 38 degrees, and then you slice it as soon as you get out. And if it warms up, put the uncut piece back in there.
But I'll tell you what, just to be able to run it through a slicer for this one would have made it more consistent.
Sure.
And when you're frying it, that's a huge thing.
Right.
Mine looks kind of ugly. I cut it all by hand, and I was really careful. But it's, you know, half of it looks good. The other half, like, wow.
So let me give you a tip about frying bacon. Everybody thinks they know how to fry bacon. If you put the bacon in a cold pan and you heat the pan up with the cold bacon in it, it will shrink about 30% less than if you take that bacon and you put it in a hot pan, because as soon as that hot hits it, there's a reaction and that stuff shrinks up. But it comes
back to life.
Right, but if you bring it up slow, it'll still shrink a little bit as it cooks, but not nearly as much. So if you like your bacon strip longer and thinner, because when they shrink up, they get a little fatter. And they get wavy, and then you get the pieces of fat that aren't cooked and the other ones that are.
Well, it also depends on if the pig you got it from was conditioned and doing burpees every day.
Right, yeah, sit-ups.
Those didn't shrink as much.
Right, yeah, exactly. But anyway, that's a true statement, though, the cold pan. So a little smoked salmon, Bob. I know salmon's not your favorite. I really enjoy it. You helped me with a barbecue back in October where I served it on a cedar plank.
That's how I like it.
That came out of the smoker.
You know,
so let's talk about that real quick.
We can take the whole next segment and do it too.
Okay.
We got plenty of time. But you're absolutely right. I do like salmon, especially if it's a mild salmon and if it's smoked lightly and brined properly. I'm telling you to smoke this in the cold weather, because most people who want smoked salmon want it smoky. Good for you. Yeah, I'm trying to cure it. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't want a bunch of smoke on it. I want enough smoke on it so that it adds to the flavor. But most of the smoked salmon I see people buying, it looks like some fur trader in the UP did it. And he woke
dark brown around the edges.
Yeah, woke up the next day because he was out of hooch.
Right.
But I think putting it on cedar is the key.
Right.
And I'm going to take the skin off, unlike you. I want that skin off it. I'm going to soak it with the skin off. I'm going to soak the plank, and I'm going to get a thin plank and not waste money. And I'm going to bring it up to where it just picks apart just nicely, and I'm going to let it cool off, throw some thyme on it, some lemon, and it's going to be great.
Right.
But the cedar, to me, especially if it's a little bit of a stronger salmon,
yep.
I don't like that trout taste.
Right. No, I know that. Yep. It's fishy. I mean, bottom line, it's a
like
fishy
butt.
Taste.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little butt smell.
Something
to
close
it.
To there, yeah. But anyway, it's you're right. I mean, if you get a good, we've always advocated this, Bob. You start with great ingredients,
yes.
You're going to get great results.
Yep.
If you don't, you won't. You can't make bad fish good, but you can make good fish bad.
And so I'm used to Lake Michigan salmon not before the run.
Right.
That tastes wonderful.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, we'll dive into this salmon a little more. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys. Oh, the off-air comments. They're always the best. Too bad you guys can't hear them. But anyway.
So we were talking salmon, and we didn't get to finish that whole thing because we talked so much.
Right.
But we've told you all before this about the cedar plank thing, but we figured out a little trick on the run on Houghton Lake one year.
Right.
And we just basically got some cedar planks, and we put the salmon on them and grilled them, and the edges of the cedar caught fire, and the wet fish kept the rest of it from burning. But here's the cool part. You pick up your tongs and you pull that fish off, and it's just got its own little symphony going, because there's
right.
flames licking, and people are going, oh my gosh, is that like salmon flambé? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
With a Home Depot shingle.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of toppers that you can do with salmon, but first of all,
or you can go topless.
Right. How do you know when it's done before we get to that? And to me, I don't have a temperature on it. I'm sure there is one.
No.
But you can part of it will flake away a little bit, just touch it with the edge of your tongs or fork or whatever.
I think your temp's going to be 145.
You don't want to overdo it because it dries out.
No.
And then it's like eating salmon jerky, which is a whole nother recipe.
Would you call me?
I put that barbecue we did in October together. I put a little 4-ingredient topper on it that
you want
I thought
gravel
was
bottom.
That was really good. I'm gonna just it's equal parts of maple syrup, real maple syrup, and Dijon mustard, and then probably like a tablespoon, a teaspoon, whatever, depending on how much you make, of rosemary.
That's kind of your. That's kind of your go-to.
And then lemon juice.
Yeah, I think for salmon, that seems to be your go-to topper because every time you're making it for friends, you're always telling me that you're making that specific topper, and
And I love it.
I know.
It's just because everybody likes it.
Well, it's good.
Yeah.
Because maple syrup is like bacon.
Right.
Everybody
likes it. Yeah, you're exactly right. And the Dijon cuts it a little
bit. So it's maple syrup, Dijon.
Yep, those are the two. Say a cup of each. If you're doing two or three fillets, a half a cup of each. We'll go with
any
that.
Any soy in there?
Nope, just a teaspoon of rosemary, and then I juice half a lemon in it and mix it all up, and then just kind of brush it on top of the salmon while it's raw, and then just let it smoke with all that on there, and it'll kind of like sink in and gets a little tacky, and it's good. It's really good. Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
Yep. And you can do, I use Grey Poupon, but you could use any Dijon
mustard
that you have.
There's all kinds of good ones. There's brewer's mustard.
Yep.
Would it be great?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So anyway, cold smoking cheese. You like smoked cheese, so I'm going to let you do this.
Well,
I'm going to let you.
Yeah, until you interrupt me, and then you won't anymore.
No.
Yeah. Cold smoked cheese is something that is, to me, a little bit of a persnickety thing.
Well, you're persnickety, so you should
because
have.
What you've got to do is you've got to pick a softer cheese. I ignored that. See, I knew you couldn't let me talk without just butting in, right? But you need a softer cheese. A hard cheese, a sharp cheese won't smoke real well.
Why?
Just because the hard cheese is, the smoke kind of sits on top. It doesn't get into the cheese. Whereas the softer cheeses, your Brie, cheddar, Howda or Gouda, Gruyere, Monterey Jack, mozzarella, Swiss, those kind of cheeses are all, the thing that's consistent with all of them is they're a softer cheese.
How about blue cheese?
That would work. Yep. Blue cheese would really work because, again, any goat-based cheese that's softer like that. Because it'll
blue cheese is dairy.
Yeah, but Roquefort Gorgonzola is Roquefort is goat. But anyway, long story short is if it's one of those softer cheeses. Now, what do you smoke it with is a personal preference. I'd stay away from the real strong mesquites and maybe go to a fruit wood.
Like maybe pine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go to a fruit wood, an apple or a cherry. Hickory might even be a little strong, too. But, again,
this is a
cold
like
smoke.
A peach or pecan might be safe. Yep. Those are nice and mild. You're
exactly.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
But
don't get them from an orchard.
Right. This is a cold smoke because cheese melts at heat, right? So if you keep this down to that 90, 95 degrees, then the smoke's going to roll over the top of it. And be careful because a little smoke goes a long way on cheese. Because you're going to cut a slice down through the cheese and you're going to have smoke on two sides of it.
You think
versus like cutting a slice off the top and you'd get all the smoke off it. You generally go across a piece of cheese.
You think you can get up to 95 on cheese safely?
Yeah, I think if you're on indirect heat, yep. Because it's going to be like I said, it's tough keeping that smoker smoking even lower.
That's why they make cold smokers,
right? And so that's a whole nother discussion, and we'll talk about that, is what is a cold smoker? If you don't have one, how do you make one?
That pellet grill that you have, mm-hmm. there's an attachment you can put on it where the exhaust comes out, and it's basically just another box that's above it, and you just take the smoke out of that, and you put your cold smoke stuff up there, and you bring the whole unit outside. I've seen guys literally use just a dryer vent, you know, galvanized metal pipe, coming out of a fire, going into just a steel box out in the snow.
Right.
And they've got a gauge on that box, and they want to keep their temperature at a certain... It's cold.
Right.
And I've smoked blue cheese, but I've never tried smoking any other cheese, so I don't know really what the right temperature should be for
that. Well, so I believe that the cheese obviously can't melt. Okay, so whatever the melting temperature is of the cheese that you're using, you need to keep the cheese below that. But if you keep the cheese too cold, even soft cheeses are hard when they're cold.
Right.
They soften up when they warm up. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a range in there,
and that's
what
you
want to be
know.
At.
That's what
that
I want to be.
And I think it probably varies by the type of cheese that you have. But I wouldn't go above 90, but 60, you know, just...
And you might have a hard time even keeping it down to 90 for most smokers.
Right, yeah. And so it's always indirect. And what Bob was describing was channeling the smoke from your chamber over to somewhere else that is not anywhere near the heat.
If you look on the internet or maybe YouTube and see some of the things some guys have put together,
right.
I've seen guys that'll have a smoker... And they'll literally run that pipe like up a hill. So the smoke keeps rising,
right?
But it cools right down to like 20 degrees.
Okay.
That's cold smoke.
Well, yeah. And
so I don't know. I'm not a smoked cheese guy. Like I said, I have smoked blue cheese and I have that tomato recipe. I like to smoke tomatoes with crumpled blue cheese on
top.
That
is good.
It's fantastic. But that's really, I'm a blue cheese freak. Most other, like, Maureen buys the smoked howdah and all that stuff, and I don't know why. I just, it doesn't do anything for me.
Right, but, well, it's the kind of cheese that you like. Personally, I could take or leave Brie. A lot of people really love Brie.
You did leave Brie once. I
know
she
I did.
She cried for weeks.
Right, yep. I'm. It's not my favorite by any means. We all have our different particular taste for the cheese that we
do. He loves them and leaves them.
But
that job
anyway.
He does.
So, Barbecue Bob, we're kicking off a new year. We're going to continue to do some new things. I've got a couple catering gigs that I've already lined up for 2022, doing a retirement party for my old boss at Standard Lumber.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to doing that.
Nice.
Of course, COVID pushed it back a couple weeks because we're in the middle of whatever we're in the middle of right now.
Sure.
And, but other than that...
Well, if you need a waiter, I'm cheap.
Yeah, right. You're not cheap. That's the problem. I've been down that road before. Right.
Oh, I'm so cheap.
I complain about Conrad, he's nothing compared to you.
I am so cheap. For what you get,
right.
I am damn cheap.
Yeah, yeah, so they say. But anyway...
And easy.
Tell people about our website a little bit.
Yeah, there's lots of... There's lots and lots of recipes. I think there are, I got the count last time. There's people all over the world hitting our website.
Right.
And there's people all over the world attacking our website.
Yeah.
We have hacks coming in like mad. I mean, I don't know what they think they're going to get.
Right. Yeah.
We don't keep any money on the internet.
Right. Yep. Yeah, not yet.
But there's just hundreds and hundreds of recipes. I can't remember the number. The top right section, you'll see a little search bar that you just punch in the word that's your
ingredient
curious about.
Or yeah, whatever.
And you'll get a bunch of suggestions, and they're all sucky.
All right. Well, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network here on Jethro. And we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there and enjoy your smoker. And if you got any questions, check out our website. And we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.